Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch, but it's not free to us? We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com.
This is Brandon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
All right, good evening. Glad you are with us. Going to be joined tonight by Josh Yoder. He is the head of a pilots association. And sadly, we've got reports just in the last few days of multiple pilots becoming incapacitated in the cockpit. I wonder if there's a connection to that in the mRNA COVID experimental drug. Then we'll be going to be joined by Ivan Raiklin live from Washington, D.C., outside the D.C. gulag with some very important news related to the J6 prisoners, political prisoners, and Capitol Hill and the legislation, or the legislator there on Capitol Hill. So we'll talk with him. Then we're going to be joined by Joe Hoft with some good news and some news related to what's going on with elections. And then Joshua Phillips from Epoch Times. Joshua Phillips from Epoch Times. I also have a quick demo of brand new resources, brand new emergency resources that have just come in. Again, I don't sell stuff unless I like it myself and use it myself. And I saw this, it was presented to me, we got a lot of stuff presented to us. It was presented to me and I said, that I have to have. Send me one of those immediately. And they got one off to me, priority mail. It arrived today, I opened it up, I'll show it to you tonight. I'm like, that's so nice. And then I actually already went ahead and ordered a bunch that are in transit and should be here before the week is over. And you're gonna be the first to be able to get your hands on these things. They're pretty cool. I actually got a few cool items tonight to show you. We've just added to the store. All right, so we'll do that in a minute. A little show and tell here, if you will. All right, joining me now is Josh Yoder. Josh, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Brandon. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Remind our audience, you're the head of a pilots association, correct?
I'm the president of U.S. Freedom Flyers. We're a nonprofit that is working to hold the Federal Aviation Administration and the airlines to account for the tremendous amount of damage that they've caused to employees through the mandates by illegally mandating emergency use authorization drugs. And we're really focused now at the moment on helping people with vaccine injuries. Our industry is truly suffering at the moment. We're seeing incredible increases in rates of pilot incapacitation and other illnesses. And it's our utmost intent to make sure that these people receive the proper care.
Absolutely. I got word yesterday, and then it started going viral. It was your tweet. What is it you tweeted out yesterday? Because it's going viral. Tell our audience if they didn't see it about that, please.
Sure. There was a pilot at Southwest Airlines, a captain. It was, I believe, Southwest 6013 departing Las Vegas in the morning. And, you know, about 30 minutes into that flight, there was a health issue with the captain. He was then removed from the flight deck, as I understand, per passengers back into the cabin. There was another commuting pilot on that flight who then did take his place and assisted the first officer in landing that aircraft back in Las Vegas. While we can't say for sure that this was a vaccine-related incident, it's certainly not something that we want to jump to conclusions to. However, we have seen a tremendous rise in the amount of incapacitations that have been happening across the world. Just about a week and a half ago, there was a British Airways captain just leaving the hotel to go fly an aircraft, and he dropped dead in the hotel lobby. These are just one of many stories. Now, in the past just over 2 weeks, we've had six pilot incapacitations that I'm aware of, and I know I don't hear about all of them. But there seems to be a major cover-up happening at the Federal Aviation Administration and also at the airlines. They don't want to be forthcoming with this information. We know that we do have many vaccine-injured individuals who actually have medical records to support their claims, and yet you don't hear about them. Everyone at this point has civil and criminal liability, and it's a cover-up game, and it's one that needs to be exposed, and we need to ensure that this never happens again.
Absolutely, we do. What happened to that pilot that was pulled out of the cockpit? What happened to him?
You know, Brandon, we don't know at this point, and like I said,
Did he die is what I'm asking.
I don't believe so. I do believe that he is still currently alive. We hope that he's doing well. But this is our concern. What we're seeing is a series of safety signals. We don't want to blame every incapacitation or everything that happens on vaccine injury, because they're not all. But what we have seen is a significant uptick in the amount of incidents that have happened, you know, since the fall of 2021. You have the very famous stories of Captain Bob Snow, you know, who went into cardiac arrest within 6 minutes after touchdown, American Airlines 1067. This was back in April of 2022. You know, had that happened 6 minutes earlier, the outcome of that flight could have been very different. Pilot Cody Flint, who passed out while he was flying an aircraft, he doesn't remember landing that aircraft. You know, Greg Pearson, another major airline captain, a few hours after getting the shot, he collapses in atrial fibrillation and almost died. And more recently, pilot Sierra Lund, she was 23 years old, 18 hours after her first Moderna shot, a very fit, young, healthy female bodybuilder, collapses with cardiac arrest-like type symptoms, and now she's been diagnosed with myocarditis and pericarditis. And we know with these shots, we know what the side effects are. Some of the top side effects are myocarditis, pericarditis, neurological dysfunction, rapid onset cancers, and the list goes on. And that's what we're trying to resolve.
And didn't you tell us I read somewhere that the FAA is lowering some of the health tests related to the heart, some kind of metrics they use, they're lowering that or changing that?
That's right, Brandon. It's been exceptionally shocking. Back in October of 2022, the FAA actually changed the standards for what's acceptable as it pertains to the EKG, the EKG that a pilot gets, a heart test. So the normal, it's called a PR interval. The normal PR interval for the last 100 years has been 1.2 to 200 milliseconds. They extended that out to 300 milliseconds. There's a 30-year Harvard study that says even a 10 to 15% increase over that 200 millisecond mark for the PR interval puts you at like 300% increased chance of needing a defibrillator, and also a 50% increase in all-cause mortality. So why the FAA is making these types of changes after the vaccine rollouts, when we know the cardiac issues are at the top of the adverse reaction list, when no other cardiac organization on the planet has made the same extension? The FAA told us upon query that, you know, this was based on new science. We've asked for the new science. Senator Johnson has asked for it. Our attorneys have asked for it. And unfortunately, the FAA can't seem to produce the new scientific evidence that would support such a change.
Now, you're a pilot, correct? You fly commercial aircraft, correct?
I am, yes. I fly for a major U.S. carrier.
Mm-hmm. And have you had the shot or not?
I have not. No, that was the whole purpose that U.S. Freedom Flyers was formed back in August of 2021, before there was actual federal mandate. And myself and a few friends, we saw what was coming. You know, we were anticipating federal mandates. We thought we had about 6 months when we formed this organization. Turns out a month and a half later, those federal mandates did come, and we stood up in force. Maybe about 20% of airline employees across the board, we stood up, we pushed back, we fought back, and we were successful in ending the mandates for most airline employees, not all, but most. And, you know, like I said, our focus has shifted. We are suing the federal government, suing them on the basis of the federal contractor clause of that mandate. It's unconstitutional and illegal. But now we're looking to hold the FAA to account, because what they're doing is they're endangering the lives of passengers by not being forthcoming by not presenting the evidence that they claim to have for lowering the cardiac testing requirements for pilots. And in the wake of all these pilot incapacitations and other issues that we're seeing, you know, it's not just the pilots who are having issues in the air. It's the ones who are dying and being permanently disabled at home. And yet the FAA is not addressing it. And right in their charter, it states that their job is to create the safest and most efficient aerospace system in the world. And I think it's safe to say at this point that what they've done is not the safest course of action.
When you get into the cockpit, I mean, I don't know what the regulations or rules or etiquette is for your industry or for you personally, but when you get into the cockpit, does this come up? Do you dare ask your, you know, captain or co-pilot sitting there or engineer behind you? Do you ask about their shot status?
These conversations do come up. And what's interesting is that so many people within the industry who were forced into getting the shot upon threat of losing their jobs are voicing exceptional regret for doing so. Now that the truth is coming out, we're seeing what the adverse reactions are. There are many people who are they're afraid. They wish they hadn't gotten it. But the good news is there are solutions. We're working with U.S. Freedom Flyers is working with a series of companies, products, and doctors. We have a large medical team for people who are experiencing issues. They can reach out to us at medical@usfreedomflyers.org. We have a team there who will be happy to assist you. While we can't give legal or medical advice, what we can do is we can connect you to people who are sympathetic to your case, people who are experts in treating vaccine injury. There's amazing companies like Cardio Miracle that was founded by John Hewlett actually to cure his own heart disease. Thousands of our pilots are on that now because we're seeing, you know, so many cases of endothelial cell dysfunction, you know, arterial inflammation, cardiac inflammation. That's a product that helps with that. Another product is the Roots Brands products, DNADetoxSolutions.com. There people can order the Trinity Pack. It's something that is actually detoxing from the mRNA, according to my understanding from the scientists who have developed this. There's cutting edge technology coming out. There are Tesla clinics being formed all across the country. And there are solutions to these issues. Our goal is just to reach these people before they are truly impacted by a health crisis.
But I'm not a doctor, so I'm sure I've asked this question of Dr. Peter McCullough, but myocarditis, pericarditis, I mean, you don't recover from that, right? I mean, that's lifelong damage, correct?
It's my understanding with the proper protocols, you can recover. As a matter of fact, I have a personal friend, just to give a bit of background. So Susan Northrup, she is the federal air surgeon at the Federal Aviation Administration, the top doctor there. She came out a couple of months ago after being queried by Steve Kirsch in regards to how many pilot incapacitations or how much harm the vaccines have caused to pilots. She said there have been no pilot incapacitations that have been linked to the shots. Pilots have not been harmed. However, my personal friend who I flew with years ago when I was a bush pilot in Africa, he actually developed myocarditis, vaccine-induced myocarditis after the first shot. He flies for a major U.S. carrier. He did the right thing. He took himself off of flight status, and Peter McCullough was actually his doctor. And what's interesting is now that his myocarditis has been resolved, he reapplied to the FAA for his first-class flight physical. And he received a letter from the FAA in direct contradiction to Susan Northrup and the comments that she made. It said that you have now been cleared to fly after the treatment of your vaccine, possible vaccine-induced myocarditis. So what we're hearing from the top, we're hearing publicly from the FAA, and then what's coming out in private correspondence to pilots are in stark contrast.
Mm. So going forward, are we going to see a shortage in commercial pilots due to health disqualifying them, cancers, other things? I mean, we know what some of the side effects are. Them are not only life-threatening, but life-altering. Are we about to go into a period of time where we have a shortage of commercial pilots due to this shot?
We are already seeing a significant shortage of commercial pilots. It's due to a number of factors. It was already predicted that we were going to have a shortage between 2020 and 2030. This had to do with the forced retirements at the age of 65 years old. In addition to that, during COVID, when the airlines were hemorrhaging money, they allowed a percentage of their most senior staff to retire early. And then travel came back more quickly than what was anticipated as well. So right now you see the training pipelines at the airlines completely full. The one thing they didn't calculate for was the number of vaccine injuries that we're currently seeing. Just to give you a statistic, between January and July of 2022, there was a 300% increase of long-term disability claim applications at American Airlines alone. And what's happening at American Airlines is happening across the board. American Airlines is actually one of your least vaccinated airlines. About 27% of pilots there are unvaccinated. So I've recently, more information that's come to light is there are thousands of pilots I know at a few airlines, respectively, that have vaccine cards who never got the vaccine. There was an underground railroad of sorts happening in this country, and many people got these cards actually with legitimate batch and lot numbers in order to maintain their employment. So what that tells me is we actually have fewer vaccinated than what we thought we did initially, and yet the list of adverse reactions and people harmed are continuing to grow, meaning that more people who got the shots are being affected than we thought.
Wow. Okay, so plug your website one more time and let pilots know where they can get help from you.
Absolutely. The website is usfreedomflyers.org. You can find us there. You can email us. You can call us. I promise we will take the time to care for you, to help you however we can. This is not an anti-vax organization. This is a pro-pilot, pro-airline employee, and pro-safety organization seeking to do the job that our federal authority should be doing, and airline representatives and executives should be getting behind us, because by caring for these people, it ultimately is going to save the industry.
Absolutely. Josh, as always, thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brennan.
Josh Yoder checking in, USA Freedom Flyers. Was that .org or .com, guys? .org. Thank you. All right. Joining me now is Ivan Raiklin. Ivan the Terrible, as I call him. Ivan the Terrible.
Ivan the Horrible.
Ivan the Horrible. And that's now how I view him. That's how the opposition views him, because if you mess with Ivan, you're gonna get the horns. Colonel Ivan Raiklin, where are you tonight, sir?
So I just wrapped up all day. I was at the Capitol. We're going to get to that hopefully. And then just right afterwards, I went and finished up attending a fundraiser for the number one draft picked America First candidate for Congress that was robbed by Kevin McCarthy from victory. His name is Joe Kent. So he happened to be in Washington, D.C. And guess who headlined the event?
You.
Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Okay, I was going to say you.
No. I'm nobody. I'm still aspiring to be nobody. That's how low in the totem pole I am.
Well, I don't know about that. But, I interviewed Joe Kent at CPAC 2 years ago this summer. 2 years ago this summer.
Yeah, his story is amazing. He's an amazing person. Absolutely.
Wasn't he a Green Beret like you?
Yes, we may have served together, so I hear.
Oh, did you really? In Afghanistan or where?
10 years ago.
Wow. Where?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right.
Exactly.
We
did serve together, and yes, that's okay. Probably about all I can say.
Okay. He was sitting with me at the news desk there at CPAC Dallas, and while I was interviewing him and we were live, the power went out. Donald Trump was supposed to be there that night or the next day, and so there was a lot of security, and the power went out. And, of course, it was a conservative event, and, everybody, there was a lot of security. So, anyway, Logan was behind the camera. My wife was standing right there, offset.
Right.
And he and I looked at each other, and the emergency lights came on so we could see each other. But it was dark in that big, gigantic hall. And there was a back door to the left of us, or to the right of me. There was a back door back there we'd come in. And I looked at him, and I said, if anything is about to go down, I'm following you. And I said, hon, I'm going to grab you, and we're going to go, and we're following Joe. This guy is a trained warrior. Whatever he does, we're going to mimic and be right on him. And he said, I gotcha. So we sat there and waited for the power to come back up, and it finally did. We finished our interview. He's got a remarkable and yet sad family story, because his wife,
absolutely,
his wife was killed fighting ISIS in Afghanistan, was she not?
Well, partially, yes. She was killed fighting ISIS in Syria.
In Syria, excuse me. Okay. And of course, she left behind, I think, a couple boys.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got two beautiful boys. He's an awesome dad. And it was funny at the fundraiser, because Matt Gaetz basically said, when he introduced him, he said, Matt, why are you here at a fundraiser for somebody that you want to get into Congress that'll basically make you the second most handsome man in Congress? And he's like, and that's coming from my wife. So that was amazing that he introduced him that way.
That's pretty funny.
That's true. I mean, well, intellect. He's just kind of like the full package in terms of intellect, physicality. I'll tell you a story. We were at a, let's say, training event together. And very elite folks were doing this training. And we were doing a movement, or I should say an event, where he beat me by approximately, I don't know, 3 seconds, a few footsteps. The person that came in third came in 45 minutes later.
Oh, wow.
And the person that came in fourth was 2 hours later. Ooh. So you can imagine what kind of an event it was. That literally is a testament to Joe and his just physicality. And obviously you've interviewed him and spoken with him. Brilliant mind, understands the issues, and his moral and ethical principles are unwavering, and that's why Kevin McCarthy went after him. Because imagine if there were two Matt Gaetz during the speaker's fight. I just don't think that they would have been able to withstand the barrage from both of them, along with Lauren Boebert and the rest of Real Team 6, because then you would have had seven. And it would have been a really bad day. It's probable that Kevin McCarthy would not have even been speaker had Joe Kent been in the fight.
And I want to make sure our audience understands. You're saying that Kevin McCarthy, in his position in leadership at the time, was trying to take out Joe Kent from becoming U.S. congressman. How was he doing so?
Right. I think it was $3 to $4 million that he pumped into his opponent by trying to make sure that Joe lost the primary, and McCarthy almost pulled it off, but it's a jungle primary, so Joe got just barely squeaked by getting the second place in the primary. And then in the general election, I believe the same FTX money that Kevin McCarthy received, right, via the Ukraine funnel, and I did Substacks on this, it was the – I believe another $9 million in dark money was used against Joe, and he lost the general election by less than half a point.
Good grief.
Less than half a point, and he was outspent 4-1 by the opponent.
So do you have any news as far as Kevin McCarthy goes and any coming vote for him to vacate the seat?
I have massive news. So if you missed it, folks, massive news. Kevin McCarthy reached out to Mickey Whithoff several weeks ago when she was attending a hearing. I was with her with Gary McBride.
Wait, explain these names to the lay people. Who are these people?
Oh, yeah. So Gary McBride is the foremost expert on the video footage of J6, way more than Tucker and his people. So you need to have Gary McBride on if you haven't yet. And then you have Tommy Tatum, who witnessed Roseanne Boylan's death being murdered by Lila Morris, the Metropolitan Police Officer. So all these people are basically the J6 core group that support Mickey, which is Ashley Babbitt's mom, okay? So Kevin McCarthy's staffer reached out to Mickey and said, hey, can you meet with Kevin McCarthy on March 23rd? And I was like, wow, this is big.
So you're talking about Ashley Babbitt's mother meeting with Kevin McCarthy.
So she met with him today. She requested for, what's his name? Dave Summerall. Got to put the seatbelt on. Dave Summerall. I'm going to the vigil, by the way. That's why we're in the car. We're going to right outside the D.C. Gulag. And hopefully we can catch Mickey. We're a few minutes out. But she met with Kevin McCarthy. And for about 30 minutes, she wanted to have me there as well as Dave Summerall from Stop Hate, who happened to be on Tucker last night, in order to basically lay it out to him that, guess what? This is all the evidence we have related to J6 in addition to Ashley Babbitt being murdered. And last minute, yesterday, he has his general counsel, as well as the U.S. Capitol Police general counsel, call Mickey while I'm sitting next to her for them to tell her, Speaker McCarthy would like to only meet with you. And not to and they did. They also did it with an email. So I don't know. It sounds like Kevin McCarthy's scared.
Let's be a little more specific there. It sounds like Kevin McCarthy is scared of our Ivan Raiklin, our D.C. correspondent and broadcaster, Ivan Raiklin.
Deep State Marauder was going to tell him the truth. And well, the truth is ugly.
What were you going to tell him? What would you have said?
I would have slipped in some things like, you're an absolute scum for taking out Joe Kent, the number one patriot, America First candidate in the entire nation. I'm never going to let that go. That's number one. Number two, you need to go ahead and use and exercise your full authority as the Speaker of the House to pull back on every single criminal referral for these political prisoners of war sitting and rotting in the D.C. jail in order to correct what your predecessor, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, did. And he has the full authority to do it. And I would have looked at the general counsel for both the U.S. Capitol Police and his own for the Speaker and said, prove me wrong. It was the Speaker of the House that has the authority to submit criminal referrals for these people, and you as the Speaker can pull those back.
So if that happened, what would happen if he pulled all those back? What would happen?
You would probably get a response from the Zhiden White House and DOJ saying you can't do that, and we would have had a nice little constitutional dance to determine who's going to flex the hardest. And if I'm on whoever's team, I'm always going to flex harder than the other side is willing to flex. Always. But he didn't afford me that because guess what? Do you think he's a toxic, feckless, stone-cold coward? Or do you think he's a courageous war-fighting hero like Joe Kent and Matt Gaetz?
Was Matt Gaetz also in the military?
No, I'm just using it as rhetorically speaking.
Yes, okay. Well, I know that about you.
Matt Gaetz is a political beast.
The warfighting part is a literal – that's a literal description of you and Joe Kent. What power constitutionally does the Speaker of the House have in regards to the control of Washington, D.C., to literally open up and empty the jail cells of the J6 people tonight? What does he have?
Thank you. Preach. So two things, Brandon. Number one, the criminal referrals had to come from the Capitol Police Board over to the DOJ. The reason why Ray Epps hasn't been prosecuted is because I suspect that the Nancy Pelosi Capitol Police Board previously said, you know what, we're not going to prosecute Ray Epps, which means that they have the authority to prosecute. And then the same authority that has the ability to prosecute, or I should say conduct a criminal referral, is also the one that can pull it back and correct it if it's wrong. In this instance, he could do that. And that would be through the House Administration Committee, oh, by the way, of which, when I went to speak with one of the staffers, I'm not going to name names because they asked that, let's just say that they are reading the Substack that I've put out, and I basically told them, by the way, this is what Mickey Whithoff gave to Speaker McCarthy, these two documents, and I posted it on my, I'll be posting it shortly. It's a list of the 33 victims of the government's role in J6, as well as who we've identified as the culprits of the murder, the homicide, and all the crimes committed by the bad actors of the government, meaning U.S. Capitol Police, MPD, others. And the other document was a Substack. And he said, oh, yeah, I'm in the middle of reading this. And we're going to incorporate that in the actual first. It looks like they're going to have the first release on their investigation of J6. So I don't know if I'm having an impact or influence, but I know Mickey Whithoff is having an impact and influence. And I'm happy to backbench and support her in every way that I can for her to make sure that Kevin McCarthy gets to the truth of January 6th, that you and your audience that I know what to be true. But they're going to actually memorialize it into reality, thus potentially showcasing that J6 was a straight-up coup d'etat, and the only way to correct it and remedy it is through a redo of J6. And I know that sounds outlandish and bold, but if you pull up, Brandon, at some point, maybe tomorrow, if you can pull up during your show, the 5 minutes that Congressman Morgan Griffith had today during the subcommittee hearing on oversight with the medical officer that they had as a witness, he literally brought up the lack of quorum component on January 6th that I have been discussing. This is huge!
Give me the name again so I can look. Give me the name so I can look it
up. This is so huge!
Give me the name so I can look it up.
Congressman Morgan Griffith. And by the way, yes, I was sitting in the room when he was questioning it. I was sitting behind the witness and lip-syncing, OMG, thank you, thank you, thank you, looking at Congressman Morgan Griffith, literally swooning in the back there.
So I'm trying to find that real quick. Is that making it all over TikTok or not TikTok, Twitter? What's it on?
No, it's probably hasn't. No one probably covered it because it's a very obscure kind of pedantic subcommittee hearing. So that's why we have to make this go so viral.
What's the word you just used? What did you just use?
Boring.
No, you used a better word than that. What was the word you used?
It was a lawyerly noise.
I know.
Pedantic.
That's wow, your vocabulary is amazing. I love it.
Yes, my polysyllabics are flourishing.
Well, you'll have to help me find the video because I'm having a hard time finding it right now.
So if you go to, C-SPAN, I'll take a look at it, and maybe for tomorrow or something we'll cover it. But that right there is literally the biggest news that no one is covering. He's literally foreshadowing in that Q&A that Kevin McCarthy was basically duped by the medical officer who advised only Nancy Pelosi to keep over 90% of Congress from participating in the joint session. And so simultaneously, he's putting the spotlight that there was no quorum and then taking some of the spotlight off and the heat off of Kevin McCarthy and basically saying that he probably didn't know that this coup occurred, which I've always argued that best case scenario stop. You're going to hit those people.
On live television. Don't hit people on live television.
Best case scenario.
Yeah.
Kevin McCarthy was not in on the sham of the lack of quorum, though. I mean, he should have known, but I guess he can say that it was kind of like it was a surprise to him when it occurred. Real time is the best case scenario. And I think Congressman Morgan Griffith kind of alluded to that. I'm probably the only person on the planet that picked up on that. And the reason why I think he brought it up, because I've been bombarding his phone and Twitter to basically begging for him to.
So you've just admitted on television you're stalking.
Identify this.
You're admitting on television you're stalking a member of the U.S. Congress.
I'm not stalking. I am tagging the appropriate member of Congress that has the jurisdictional responsibility to address problems in our constitutional order, and he happened to hook, line, and sinker do the right thing. I absolutely love this guy now.
Great. Excellent. Okay. So when are we going to see a call for the vacating of the chair and a new speaker?
Wait, hold up. You kind of missed the point here. If Kevin McCarthy is doing everything that we're demanding him to do in the time that we're demanding him to do it in, I think his temporary speakership is going to continue for at least another few days.
Another few days. All right, great.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's happy for those extra few days. Okay.
Maybe a few weeks. I mean, wow. Today was massive.
So
like,
what?
It bought him time.
So what made
in
him?
In my book, it bought him time.
What made him reach out, you think, to Ashley Babbitt's mother?
Oh, I don't know. Several thousand requests by Ashley Babbitt's mother to have a meeting, and probably several hundred thousand from all of us collective. Remember I was dropping the email address and phone number on a couple episodes, yours and a lot of other podcasts,
yes,
of his chief of staff?
Yes.
With a lot of requests? I think that did the trick.
Was she happy with the meeting today?
I think it was a very net positive. I would love if we're getting close. I don't know if you got to finish up because we're a little bit late getting there to the DC Gulag. But she made a comment to there was a reporter from one of the radical disinformation purveyors out there that asked her what her feelings were on the meeting, and she said Speaker McCarthy, I think she used the word wonderful, and then Marjorie Taylor Greene retweeted that earlier. You can pull that up. And it was quasi, I wouldn't say sarcastic. It was presented that way because she didn't want to give any details to a non-patriot network. It was literally, you know what? Pound sand, get away from me. I'm not going to feed into what you're trying to get me to talk about. And it was a cordial response. My assessment based on talking to her afterwards and then the interview that she did on One America News after coming out of the meeting was that it was a net positive, and I think we're going to see a seismic shift moving in our favor of what actually occurred on January 6th. And I'm going to end with this, if I got a couple seconds here. Mickey asked Kevin McCarthy if he had seen the video of Ashley being murdered by Michael Burt. And she said, look me in the eye and tell me you've seen that. And he said, I have not seen that. And she basically asked him, can you please watch that? And you're going to, decide for yourself that Michael Burt wasn't just doing his job, like you said to a reporter several weeks ago.
Wow. Wow. All right. Great update. I know you're in transit to the gulag there where they've already, as of 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, 8 minutes ago, they would have sang the national anthem, correct?
National anthem, yep.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, so before I let you go, are you still with us? We didn't just lose him, did we? Because I have a gift for him. Are you back?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're back? I want you to see this. I don't want to lose you because I want you to see this. I want people to realize that go ahead and do a side-by-side shot here, will you? There we go. He is the Telly Savalas. I finally figured it out tonight. He's the Telly Savalas of the America First Movement.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I mean, are you guys like, is that your dad? Is that your dad?
Telly Savalas. What about Yul Brynner?
Yeah, but I think that's not a bad one either. You know, the Magnificent Seven you're talking about a while ago, you know. But yeah, you're the Kojak of the America First Movement.
Well, some people call me Mini-Me. I've been called worse. You know, it's a Christian show. You know, family friendly.
Well, you know, a lot of our audience has no idea who Telly Savalas and Kojak are, so we're dating ourselves right now.
We are. I totally remember that.
All right. Well, I just came up with that on my own a while ago, and I thought, you know, he sure looks like Telly Savalas tonight. So I pulled that up there and told the guys in the control room, put those up next to each other. So there you go. That you're the Telly Savalas. You're the Kojak of the America First Movement.
Well, Brandon, I appreciate everything you're doing. You're one of the leaders in this America First Movement because the audience and the truth that you push out. I mean, I really mean that. I know I'm always joking around, but sometimes I am serious, and people do take me serious, and this is my serious face and saying, God bless you, Brandon, for keeping this thing going. And you're one of the key components of why we've been able to create this necessary pressure on these members of Congress to include the speaker. Because you have a big enough audience, and Mike Lindell's got a big enough audience for us to have this massive impact. And I just happen to be close by and available, and you give me the platform. So I appreciate you. And
well,
everybody that's watching.
You're very kind, and as we always say, it is a team effort. And your show is every day at WVW-TV over on my channel, WVWTV.com. What time do you go live every day?
4 p.m. Eastern till 4:30. And sometimes I'm in the faces of these guys that we're talking about.
So you might catch me
rubbing them the wrong way, if you will.
So he has a very unique show. He has a phone. He has a phone. You know, maybe Hillary said she had a phone and a pen. He has a phone with a camera, and this guy does his live show, and you can watch it on demand at WVWTV.com later if you don't catch it live, but 3 o'clock Central, 4 Eastern, right?
Yes, sir.
And he takes his phone up there to Capitol Hill and in the meetings and does his show, and we never know from one day to another where he's going to be, who he's going to have. I mean, it's his doing his show on the fly on Capitol Hill and all over D.C. It's fascinating. You've got a unique show with a unique style, and no one else is doing talk television like that. It's pretty cool, and we're glad to have you on our team.
Love you, brother.
You too. Give them your Substack real quick.
Oh, yeah. If you want to read the Substack that was presented headed to, by the way, Clay Higgins, Andy Biggs, Congressman Loudermilk's office, the four members that represent the four deaths that occurred on January 6th. I gave a, I don't know, Ted, Matt Gaetz has it. Everyone has the Substack article, the How to Get to the Truth and Justice of January 6th. It's at ivanrakeland.substack.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Ivan.
Thanks, Brandon.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Greet Mickey for us. All right, there he is, Ivan Raiklin. All right, let's go to Joe Hoft. We're running a little behind tonight. Joe Hoft joins us from the Gateway Pundit. Joe, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you for being here. Hey, Joe, we've got a couple articles tonight by you. Here's one right here over the Gateway Pundit. I had someone on about it earlier, but I'd like to get your feedback on it since it's written by you. Exclusive election system discovered, used in multiple states, internet connected, uncertified, and accessible to numerous government agencies and outside entities. Tell us about this, and then please, I don't know if you've been on enough with me yet to know that I'm pretty well obsessed with digging on the fact that I think the CIA is behind a lot of this, and the CIA's got to be involved, I think, with some of these machine companies, per the letter that I uncovered when I was investigating by Congressman Bill Posey out of Florida, demanding that the Inspector General over the CIA investigate the connections between the CIA and the voting machines. And so when you say government agencies, I'm curious to what those are. Tell us about this article, please.
Yeah, great. Thanks. I was introduced to this entire topic from some, I'll just say some patriots from New Mexico that have done some great work down there. And they shared this story with me, and the more I looked at it, actually I put it up last week, but this was buried in it. And the more I looked at it, I was like, yesterday I started looking at it more. I'm like, this is a big, big deal. This is something that we kind of skirted over. I'm like, wait a minute here. And so, and I really think this is big, Brandon, and this has a lot to do with maybe a lot of things. You know how we have complained about the systems. We from the very beginning we could see something was wrong because I mentioned last night and I've mentioned before. You know, I'm a corporate executive auditor. I've worked in Hong Kong for years overseeing audit. I've done 200-300 audits around the world in various countries, various currencies, various languages, etc. And you know, it's a tough job, but I learned how to do it, and I got a great education that helped me, and I was really blessed. I got to see the world doing this job, but that really helped me when 2020 came around. I was back in the States working with my twin brother Jim at the Gateway Pundit, and you know, all of this stuff, you know, you just started looking at it from an auditing approach, and really the first thing you do, which is maybe all this is just logical. You just kind of look at the big picture, and we start seeing all these anomalies, like with the bellwether counties. How does Trump not win the election when he wins, you know, whatever, 17 out of 19 bellwether counties or whatever? It always goes to the winning president, and it didn't go to President Trump. How does he gain 13 million votes and not win the election? How does, you know, and all this is, how does Joe Biden get 80 million? He couldn't even get 2,000 people at his rallies leading up to the election, whereas Trump had 1.1 million. So none of this stuff made any sense from a big picture, which is kind of where you start. So then you start drilling in, and then we started seeing patterns. And I know you're familiar with all this, but those patterns then indicated that there's something going on. And as an auditor, if you see patterns where there shouldn't be patterns, or if you don't see patterns where there should be patterns, then that's something to kind of dig into further. And we saw these patterns all over the place, especially on election night. Massive drops off for Joe Biden. We call it the drop and roll. And then all of a sudden, from that point forward, every single entry had the same proportion of Biden to Trump votes for the last 10% of all votes counted in those various states where that happened. So this stuff didn't make any sense, which led us then to the machines. And we started thinking, well, there must be something here that is somehow flatlining these results. It's making them such that they're coming up with these entries that don't make any sense, that appear obviously tainted. There's something wrong, and we start seeing you know, more and more, and that led us into the systems that did lead us to Dominion. We found out about Dominion. We didn't even know about Dominion. SNS. And so then we started reporting on them, and then they started, you know, going after people for reporting on them. And So anyways, that led to a number of things, which basically, you know, got us to where we are today.
What is
and
And
so that's where we're at. And what these guys identified was that in the in New Mexico, at least in two counties for sure, they believe for the entire state, is there's this system there that nobody really even knew about. Nobody outside of the election process knew about. And it's made by this company called BPRO. And it's called the term is what team the well ultimately they've named it the service software. And so what happens is the data comes in through Dominion, but then it's somehow funneled through this service computer and back to the Secretary of State's office, and then the Secretary of State is ultimately then declaring and certifying the election for the state. Now, what these guys point out is that the laws in the state of New Mexico say that no, each particular, I guess, county has to certify their result. But instead, this has been somehow morphed over to the Secretary of State. So it's not, this whole process is not in compliance with the state laws in New Mexico. In addition to that, what we're seeing is that data will come in to Dominion. It'll be read-only to this service computer. Service then will send it back in a read-write process, where it ultimately then gets managed and finally reported by the Secretary of State. So there's this connection. There's the chart. There's this connection between this service software and Dominion software, and ultimately with the Secretary of State's office. Again, somehow this doesn't – so the county doesn't come up with their numbers. They're relying on the numbers that the Secretary of State ultimately feeds back to the county and then certifies the election, and the local counties just say, yeah, I guess that's the right answer, because they don't have a clue. And so this system service is it's not compliant. It's absolutely connected to the internet, and it's also connected to these other systems. So we see how it's interacting with Dominion. We see how it's interacting with the Secretary of State's office, and we believe it's probably interacting with Eric, what they have. And it's just, it's really kind of unbelievable that we're just kind of discovering this now after a couple years of looking into this. Makes you wonder, what else do we not know?
Was it whistleblowers, or who found this?
There's some patriots there in New Mexico, and I'm not sure if I can share their names.
Yeah, that's
right
fine.
Now.
No. I want you to do that.
But
yeah.
But they've been looking at this, and there's some really sharp people.
Yeah.
And they've done some great work. Now, what we did do, and then we'll probably have more on this tomorrow, is that we started looking into this company, BPRO, and we find out that BPRO was purchased by a company out of St. Louis. And this company in St. Louis specializes in all sorts of election technology stuff. It's apparently run by this guy who used to run the elections in St. Louis City. And when you read the site for this company, you'll see how they brag this guy up like he was a young guy who came in and he brought trust back to the elections in St. Louis City. That's a lie, because nobody in their right mind trusts the elections in St. Louis City. So this guy was very young, somehow got into this role with this company, and then this company bought BPRO, and we don't know for how much. And
okay,
I believe it's a private company.
So when are we going to start zeroing in on all of the companies from coast to coast and proving that some of them, if indeed they are, I'm just asking questions, if indeed they are, proving or seeking to investigate to see if any of these companies are really fronts for the CIA? Because I have a hard time believing that Congressman Bill Posey's office, who I have talked to his office now a few times after I found that letter in my research a few months ago, and then have received since then more public letters he's written. He's not just firing off a letter on his congressional letterhead to the Inspector General of the CIA saying, you need to investigate the connection between the voting machine companies and the CIA. He's not saying that because he doesn't know what else to write or has not got enough on his desk. There's got to be something there. And I'm really curious as to how many of these technology companies that just pop up and all this money and all this stuff floating around, how many of these are front companies for the intelligence?
Well, you know, it's a great question. And then maybe a couple of years ago, we would have said, if you asked this, we'd say, oh, come on, you know, come on, right?
Right.
But now, even more so now, because we just found out, what, a week or two ago, through those Twitter files and through that hearing in front of Congress, that there is this entity that's been set up, or actually a number of entities. Matt Gaetz called it censorship industrial complex. For these entities are backed by the U.S. government. In one case, there was this news guard that was paid for by the Department of Defense, and that was a fact checker. We know PolitiFact, a fact checker that is being paid for in connections to the Secretary of State. So we've got the government paying fact checkers to basically manage information going out to Americans. And to tell Americans that when we write something here at Gateway Pundit, or when you share something at this channel at Frank News, we then somehow, if they can step in and say, oh, no, that's not true, especially when we're over the target. Because everything that they really have hammered us on over the last few years, whenever they really hammered us, it was a sign we were absolutely over the target. Something that was really amazing is how they would hammer us on COVID when we were saying and showing immediately that this thing is not as bad as they're saying. It's going to hurt. You know, yes, elderly are at higher risk. Kids are not. And it's probably equivalent to the flu overall. And when we started sharing that, they hammered us at the Gateway Pundit. Now looking back, it's because they needed the message that COVID was really bad to scare people into complying with their, anti-Bill of Rights actions that, stole all our rights from the American people.
Well, so they could justify all of these mail-in ballots and voter drop boxes to steal the election with. So isn't it interesting that there's a lot of evidence that the military-industrial complex was involved in the development of this bioweapon? Yeah. Right? That you got DARPA and other groups involved. So you've got the intelligence arena orchestrating this whole thing that lays the foundation for mail-in ballots and drop boxes so the intelligence arena can steal the election and get rid of it. Because just like JFK was saying, I'm going to break the CIA into 1,000 pieces and throw it into the winds, Donald Trump was trying to do virtually the same thing to the intelligence people.
You know, you're absolutely right. Brandon, you're absolutely right. And the more we learn, the more right that seems to be, you know? And like, you know, these fact checkers were hammering us, and we're just, you know, news guard. This thing, they actually said, well, we'll stop hammering you if you put on your posts at the Gateway Pundit that to find the real truth, go to news guard. And this was an entity that was being paid for and funded by the Department of Defense.
Really means the intelligence arena, because we know that we know the CIA and the NSA and these groups penetrate these groups. We know many people come out of the various military branches and go to work for the NSA and for the CIA while they're still wearing their military uniform. They work for that agency while they're still a military officer. And I know them. I know guys that have come out of the military that did that. I had an NSA officer tell me, who was retired. When you talk about the NSA and you talk about the CIA and these groups practicing color revolution overseas and then coming home and doing it, this person said to me, you are over the target more than you know. That's all I can say. I don't want to go to jail, but you are so over the target when you keep saying that.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we see that they're even more.
And by the way, I'm not suicidal, okay?
Yeah. but then they morphed into the big tech, and we got big tech, you know, full of FBI agents and even three-letter other entities.
Yes.
And so, of course, this stuff's going on. We need to keep digging and find out and get to the bottom of this. But what's going on with our election system that we've got all these systems? But here's the thing, and I think we're gonna find a lot more related to this. I think this is a really big deal. As much as Dominion was big, I think this is just as big, maybe bigger.
Wow.
Because this entity is related to BP, this BPRO that's been purchased by this entity in St. Louis. And this entity in St. Louis is involved in those new poll pads. It's involved in It advertises, and we'll put this up in a piece tonight for the morning. It also advertises that it's involved in up-to-date, like, election numbers or something like that. So what that's telling me is that this is the system, this company, with the use of this, with the use of the interaction with Dominion, and with the poll pads, et cetera, this is how they can tell who voted. This is how they can tell where they voted, and this is how they can tell, most importantly, who didn't vote. So if they need some extra numbers for Joe Biden, get his totals greater than President Trump's because he's 20 million behind, they've got the list right there on their, you know, on this system that they're sharing. Now, I don't have any evidence that that's what happened, but we're looking into it, and it sure looks like initially that there's at least the potential that could be happening.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't agree with everything he's ever put out, nor would he agree with everything I've ever put out. That's, you know, I'm talking about Jesse Ventura, who was the governor of Minnesota, who won a three-way race. And funny thing is, you know, he had his conspiracy theory TV show, and some of the stuff he put out on there, everybody was like, that's crazy. Some of it's come to pass. So with all that said, this is not a full-throated endorsement at all of everything Jesse Ventura has ever said or done. But I don't know if you have ever seen this video. I've played it here. I want to play it again. I don't know if you've ever seen this because it fits into the wheelhouse of what we're talking about, because I have been told by more than one person that the CIA has penetrated every state legislature in the nation. Look at what Jesse had to say. Watch this. Guys in the control room, give me some audio, please.
In the Capitol, where I was interrogated by 23 members of the Central Intelligence Agency, and I was the governor. I went, because being the former military, you kind of feel obligated. You don't know what it's really about. I walked into the room, and they put me in a chair at the end, and they were in a big half circle around me. And they interrogated me, questioned me. And having met me, you'll realize how I handled it. I walked in and I sat down. I said, well, first of all, I said, before you ask me any questions, I have a few for you. I said, what are you here for? I said, your mission statement says you're not to be operational in the United States of America. Why are you here questioning me? And why are you violating your mission statement? Well, I couldn't get an answer. Him, Bob, you know, that's the way they are. I second said, I want to go around the room. I want you to tell me your name and what you do. And I'm the governor. Half of them wouldn't. Half would. I don't know if they're telling the truth when they said to me.
What did they question you about? What was the purpose?
Well, okay, when it was over, I went home very puzzled that day. And when I got home, I thought, who can I call to clear this up for me? And one name came to me, and his name is Richard Marcinko. Does anyone know who Richard Marcinko is? Dick Marcinko writes the Rogue Warrior books. He's a 32-year member of the Navy SEALs. He created SEAL Team 6, the anti-terrorist unit. He created Red Cell. And Dick worked very closely in many times with the CIA, whom we in the SEALs lovingly call Christians in Action. That's our slang term for the CIA. We call them Christians in Action. And, hey, we're SEALs, come on. You know, we're not your normal run-of-the-mill.
Don't know better.
Yeah, we don't know any better. And so I called Dick, and I said, Dick, I said, I just had a meeting with 23 members of the CIA in the bowels of the Capitol. I said, and I can't figure out why they wanted to talk to me. And I said, you're the guy who I probably would have calling because you would have the most intel to me. And Marcinko started laughing on the other end, and I said, well, he said, well, I've been out of it now a few years. He said, I can't directly tell you why, but he said, I have a pretty good idea why. I said, tell me, you're leap years ahead of me. He said, they didn't see you coming. And what's the CIA's job? Their job is to do intelligence reports to let the government know trends and things like that so that the high echelon government people can make, hopefully, good decisions based upon intelligence. And when I thought back to the questioning, it was all about how I got elected. He was right on. They wanted to know what I did. I don't know, maybe to stop it from ever happening again. Who knows? But that may be it.
Wow. Kind of, you know, That has a little more meaning now, doesn't it? If what he's saying is true, and I have no reason to doubt it. Wait, is he muted? Let unmute him. All right, go ahead, Jeff.
Yes. Yeah. Pretty amazing stuff. What year was that? Do you have an idea?
Yeah,
roughly. 10 years ago? Five?
Looks like it was posted 14 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, pretty amazing. We would have thought, you know, that's kind of hokey. We wouldn't have believed it. We would have thought, oh, they're not doing that. CIA can't, they can't work in the U.S.
Right.
You know, but then here recently we also heard that, you know, I think, and you've had Roger Stone on, I think something like, what do you tell me? Is it 3 out of 4 burglars in Watergate were CIA?
That's exactly right.
The whole
right.
thing was, you know, the whole thing so it was a setup. And certainly for Trump, they were crawling over. Some people were, his enemies were all over that White House. You know, that was very clear. McMaster and others, they weren't there to help Trump. And somebody had gotten him in there. And so, yeah, some of that stuff's just pretty alarming. It's pretty scary, really. And then you look at this and you say, well, wait a minute. You know, we know this now about Watergate. We know this now about
how about JFK? How about murdering a president in broad daylight on video, on film?
Yeah. I mean, we know, and they won't give us 3,000 of the documents that are still out there. We know this. And so what does that, you know, why should we now it's like, what should we, you know, why should we erase things so quickly? In the past, I think for the 10 years ago, we would have said no immediately. No. And I don't think that's where we're at today. I think based on everything, you know, the Russia collusion, the more we dug into that, the more we knew this is a scam. These people are trying to take down President Trump. And they knew it. And now we absolutely know that they knew it. It was a lie. They knew it. And they continued to break, you know, to commit crimes to put President Trump to form this coup d'etat of the Trump administration. Fortunately, they didn't do it, you know, fortunately.
Yeah, I showed on this show, I've shown the screenshot more than once. It's on my computer in a PowerPoint presentation, and we put it on video so it doesn't get lost. But it's a 1984, it's either the Washington Post or the Washington Times, I think it's the Washington Post, article from May of 1984, Jesse Helms talking about the CIA stealing the election in El Salvador for a communist. That they gave him a computer, they gave the guy extra help, and gave a computerized system for registering people to vote that disenfranchised a bunch of folks and it helped the communists get in. And Senator Jesse Helms is squawking that the CIA stole that election and put their puppet down in El Salvador, a communist, into power over the guy that would have been more aligned with our constitutional republic. So the CIA has a long history of doing this. We've even played the clip. We've played the clip where a former CIA director that I've actually met in person, got a picture with him at a conference many years ago in at the Ritz-Carlton in Tyson's Corner, the former CIA director who has done such great work with my friend, the late Peter Pry on EMP, it's James Woolsey. Former CIA director James Woolsey is on video admitting that the CIA has fooled around in elections in many, many other countries.
And in the U.S. as well. Look at, you know, a lot of questions. I'm thinking when I say the U.S., I think about 2020, what led up before the election and how they had Papadopoulos in the UK, how they were, and we don't know if it was CIA, I can't say that, but there were certainly some people there, whether they were CIA or working now, you know, with other foreign entities. The whole purpose was to set up President Trump and ultimately I get to take him down. And so it's probably an industry just as much as the censorship industrial complex is.
Absolutely.
It's really, yeah, scary.
Great job, great reporting, and let me know if you uncover more. We'll be watching the Gateway Pundit and joehoft.com. I just found out the other day, you got your own website, joehoft.com, JOHOFT.com, joehoft.com, and we look forward to having you back. Appreciate you making time for us tonight, Joe.
No, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Joe Hoft checking in. Check out his site, folks, joehoft.com. Thomas, grab Annie for me on the phone. I got an interview I pre-taped today with Joshua Phillip, but I think I'm going to have to play that tomorrow because that's a 33-minute interview, and we've got 25 minutes left, and so I don't have enough time. Grab Annie, because I had her standing in the wings to talk a little bit about Iran and some things coming out. So while you're grabbing Annie by phone and with a picture, she can't come on camera tonight. I want to show the audience something. This is, if you go to WVWTVstore.com, this is something that we have just put online as of today. Kind of heavy. It's very well built. You want to pull that lower third down for a second, if you don't mind, Thomas. This is very, very well built. It's 9 pounds. So it's 9 pounds. It's got some handles on the side here. And you're like, what is that? Well, you can see the fan in here, right? This is something that was sent to me, and I was called about it. We're moving so much great product now that companies are coming to us and pitching their products to us. And we're happy for any of you, by the way, to pitch your products to us. You can email me, Brannon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, Brannon at worldviewweekend.com. So if you are knowing of someone else out there that is in the a business of making good products that are related to emergencies and emergency supplies, we'd love to see them. So you can just email me, Brannon, B-R-A-N-N-O-N, at worldviewweekend.com. You'll end up with two W's in a row when you spell that together. But someone that we work with already, a company we work with already, said you really should check out what one of our sister organizations has. They showed this to me. I said, send one to me in the mail right away. I don't offer anything that I haven't personally looked at and seen and verified the quality of it. I've been doing this 33 years. Been broadcasting as a broadcaster since 1995, and my credibility is so important to me and the trust of my audience. I don't sell things I don't believe in or haven't verified and wouldn't and don't use myself. So they sent me one, and I wanted to get one because I thought, I'll use that. That's awesome. In fact, I'd like to give this as a gift to a few people I know that would probably appreciate this. And what it is it is a, well, in fact, let me just take you to our website, WVWTVstore.com, for a minute. Go here, go to emergency supplies right up here at the top, if you want to show that, Thomas. Emergency supplies right at the top. Click that, emergency supplies, and it'll bring you to this right here, all right? This self-powered indoor stove and heater. I misspelled stove, so I have to go back and fix that. Indoor stove and heater, all right? So what it is, it's a stove, and I'll show you how it's going to work, but when you want to use it as a heater, you leave the top on. And this fan that you just saw me pointing to, that is a heat-generated fan. But if you want to cook on it, it's got bars for cooking on the grate, and you put your pan over it, and you can cook. So you can boil water. So it's a stove, but it's also a heater. So come back to me, and I'll show them how this works. So here we have the fan. You can see the fan, and it is a heat-generated fan. So the heat makes this fan turn after a few minutes. It takes a few minutes for it to warm up. It starts. So you could actually heat a small room. And then on the website, WVWTVstore.com, it gives you the measurements. Space heater indoors warms up to 200 square feet. So obviously, if you had more than one. And you can use this indoors when you use the heat. And the heat is on this side. And what it is, look at that. If you can go to a wide shot, a higher up shot, if you would, see if it'll show. There you go. What it is, so this out of the way. What it is three of those 6-hour hand heat, right? So there's three of those. You light those and get those going, close that up, and then get it going. And within a few minutes, it'll generate enough heat to start turning that fan to heat a 200 square foot room. I guess if you had more than one, it obviously worked even a bigger room and more warmer. Now, if you want to then cook on it, you don't want it for heat, you want to use it for cooking on, then you take this off. It's got little slots that fit in there that hold that on there. You take that off. Now you come back to me. And now you got yourself a cooking top. And as you saw, you can just put your pan on there. You can put your pot on there to boil the water to make the freeze-dried food. Now, here's the deal. We've had some folks, particularly some seniors, who have said, I like the idea of your solo stove that's for outside, but I don't want to go outside. Do you have anything where if the power went out, I could cook inside? And wouldn't you know, literally, folks, we just got introduced to this. We're like, we said to them, I actually told Libby, tell them, hold on. In the next couple of days, I think I will have an answer for them. And so here's this sweet lady saying, I watched Brandon, but I like the idea of having the ability to boil water and make freeze-dried food, but I don't want to have to go outside. I don't feel safe if all that's going on to go outside. And so is there a way for me to have a way to cook and boil water that's safe inside? And I said, well, give us a couple of days. We'll see and this is really well made. I mean, this is a well-made product. Okay? So anyway, I got it. We've got several on the way. And you can get it now at WVWTVstore.com. WVWTVstore.com. It's got little slits on the end here. And you just put the little slits in there so that it stays on. And then it'll drop down into the base. It's very easy to use. Very, very, very well built. So check that out. In fact, Thomas, I think we have a little video. You have that video? Play that video real quick. Let's play that. Then we'll go to Annie. Is there audio? No audio? Okay, I'll just talk. There you go. You can see how well built this thing is. Pretty easy to use. That little device she's got in her hand is on underneath it. You can pull that out and use that. So there you go. Heat-powered fan. No electricity needed. Indoor, safe, no smoke, no fumes, no power, indoor, outdoor. And there you go. You're seeing the temperature rise, right? Brings a room from temperature 30 to up to 65 degrees, that 200 square foot area. Simple design. Get your canned heat. We've been selling the canned heat for a while anyway. So we've got all the canned heat. Now we've got these. There you go. Light the canned heat, slide in the tray, push heat under the fan, give it a few minutes, and the fan will start turning. Again, you can boil your water, make your freeze-dried food. Voila. Pretty sharp, huh? There you go. Okay, so they're saying it's about 8 pounds. I'd read it was 9, but that's all right. There you go. All right. Get it from us, WVWTVstore.com. You can also call 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. 5-7, and let's see what else real quick. I have something else over here I wanted to show you. Well, maybe that's all I'll do for tonight. Let me go back to the website real quick before we go to Annie. Oh, yeah. This is what I want to show you. Look what else we've got. Where did that go, guys? I thought I put that. Oh, I did. Here, keep showing that while I step off for a second and grab what I want to show. Yeah. All right. As you know, have the EMT bags, which are just flying out the door, right? And it's got some sutures in there, no doubt about it. But I thought, I want more than just two sutures. You know, let's see. Go to the EMT bag. Got sutures in there. You see it in there. And if I have a doctor, two sutures. So I'm thinking, if I have a bigger family and I want something else, I want more than two sutures. So I went out looking, and this is a company also that we've worked with for a long time. It's amazing, a couple of the companies we work with, they offer things I didn't know they offered. And so I went out, and I found one of the companies that work with already, and they have this surgical instrument kit for minor surgery. And this is for sutures. So if you wanted to get the EMT bag that we're already offering, and then you wanted to have some extra sutures, you can go to our website because we now have those. Those have come in, and I'll just show you the screenshot of it because I have it right here in front of me, but it's easier to show on camera. Let's go to this. Here you go. All right, there it is, the suture kit for stitches. There you go. Comes in this little pouch, and it comes with these items right there, all right? And then you can assemble them in the little pouch, all right, and keep them with the light pin and everything. But everything you need for doing the stitches and sutures. Now, I don't know how to do stitches, and I'm guessing most of you don't either know how to do these things either. But if you have a nurse practitioner or a doctor, a nurse in your town or in your neighborhood, if we have a crisis and you guys need to have someone get some stitches, at least you've got, again, your EMT bag, and now you have a small surgical kit. So anyway, if you want to add a couple of those to your EMT bag, go back to the website. Purchase the EMT bag, and while you're there purchasing the EMT bag, you can pick up the little surgical kit and add two or three of those, and then you have the ability to make sure you've got enough sutures for if you need them for stitches. And again, that came up because I'm like, I like my EMT bag, but I'd like to have a few more sutures. So I went out searching for where I could find the best sutures at the best price, and that's a nice little kit. Now let me show you this. Two other things. We'll go to Annie. Look at this. This is cool. This comes from the same people that make the stove you just saw. Now, this is great for anybody, particularly if you are not around an area where you're going to have time to go out and chop a bunch of firewood or try to get some kindling for your solo stove. Remember us showing you the solo stove? Let me go back here. The solo stove right here. And you want to get some fire going onto your solo stove to put your pot on to make your boiled water? Well, this is a new product we just added today, okay? And we've got this coming in to us before the week's over. It should arrive to us. And this is an emergency fuel. And it's a fire starter to get a fire going, but you can also use it on its own. And as you see here, extra long burn, stays lit 20 to 30 minutes for sustained warmth and safety in emergencies. Waterproof, pest-proof, lights in the disaster conditions. You can use it to actually boil your water. You can actually get this to go hot enough to boil your water for a long enough period. It stays lit for 20 to 30 minutes, okay? And you can use this to boil your water. So if you don't have wood or kindling, you could use this if you actually had as the fuel source for boiling your water. But if you're just looking for some extra fuel source to get your wood going, you can get it. And we've got it. We're offering it in the 2-gallon and 5-gallon bucket. So 2-gallon and 5-gallon bucket is what we're offering it in. All right? 2-gallon and 5-gallon buckets. Just go to WVWTV.com. Click on emergency supplies. You'll find it there. And then one final item. These just came in as well. We hear about water and water supplies and electricity going out and water not pumping and flowing. A lot of us live near water sources, but obviously you're going to want to purify it. We do have the purifiers. This is a great little item, too. I thought I brought that up here as well, guys. Maybe I did. But this is a I left them on the counter. This comes flat. This is a 5-gallon collapsible water carrier, and it actually comes flat. And it'll flatten back out. So you don't have to worry about storing a bunch of buckets and other stuff and clutter. These lay flat. It takes up very small space. Got a spigot on it, as you can see there. And so that's another way, again, thinking through the process. If I got to go get some water, walk somewhere to a stream, a creek, a lake, whatever, purify my water, boil my water, get my fire going, get my stove going, whether I want to use the outdoor stove. Do not use the solo stove inside, folks. Okay? This is for inside, the new self-powered indoor space heater and stove, all right? So again, adding some new great products on our website, WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. In addition to the emergency food supplies, again, we're offering zero shipping. We're picking up the freight on the freeze-dried food. We're picking up the freight. We pick up the freight almost on everything, really. So check it out. We had a huge order come in this week, 9 pallets. And we have another, I think the largest order we've ever done. We've got about 20-plus pallets coming in early next week. So again, the prices are going up. The company we buy it from said their prices are going up the end of March. And when their prices go up, then everybody else will be putting their prices up. We think we've put away and putting in enough, storing enough away to be able to offer very competitive prices to our listeners longer than anyone else. And of course, we're also offering free shipping. We're eating the shipping on that, which is saving some of you hundreds of dollars. These, we had about 100 plus of these come in. Again, the EMT bags, we have them in blue, we have them in red. I don't know that we give you a choice of color because we're just doing good to keep them in stock because of the fact that so many people are wanting them. So again, there you go. All of that, WVWTVstore.com. Some of these things, by the way, make great Father's Day gifts. As Father's Day will be here before you know it. But birthday gifts for dads and anybody, really. But obviously, these are essentials. But trust me, if you want to buy some of this stuff for dads, for guys, most guys are into this kind of thing. They like these kind of things. All right, WVWTVstore.com. I told Libby her phone was probably going to ring off the hook tonight. So 901-468-9357. For those of you that want to order over the phone, 901-468-9357. All right, let's go to Annie. Annie, thank you for joining us tonight, Annie.
Thank you for having me, Brennan.
I know you need to appear on not on camera tonight, so thank you for joining us by phone. And I want to go to a couple articles I saw today that involve you, and that is one of them that was related to the New York Times. Here it is. New York Times publishes creepily compassionate piece about genocidal Iranian regime. Have you had a chance to look into this, Annie?
I did a scan through it, and I'm going to be honest with you. Not even a second of my surprise. I think everyone almost knows by now, New York Times has always been a fan of regime. Remember, they praised Rafsanjani and they praised Khamenei back in the time. They even put a piece out when Rafsanjani died, calling him one of the heroes of our time. So am I surprised they're supporting this regime, considering what's going on in the last 4 or 5 months? I'm not. Am I disgusted by it? Absolutely. Because the fact that they still have such a huge support from American people who are out there pretending to love freedom and ask for what is a fight for human rights and women's rights, and then they support, you know, New York Times. I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. What does it say about Iran's influence on our country? Is there, I mean, Iran got billions of dollars from the Obama administration, the Obama-Biden administration. Is there, I don't want to accuse anybody of anything that's not going on, but certainly they're able to use their money to buy influence or buy media, right?
Oh, absolutely. I have said it for many years before anyone else called out Fox News. I was the first one to call out Fox News, except that I don't have much of a big voice to get out there. But I was the first one in 2009 as when I called out Fox News for getting money from the regime of Iran to silence any exposure of the green movement that was going on in 2009 in favor of Obama. It had started back then. They have influence in every single major media outlet in America, and it's been going on. Again, it's not something that happened yesterday, but they're just becoming more and more blunt, and they have nothing to hide at this point. I mean, why would they? They have the regime here under their thumb. They have the media under their thumb, and Americans are willingly looking the other way because they still think what happens in Iran doesn't affect them here in America, sadly.
Let's go to this other article I got over at worldviewreport.com, the aggregated news site, worldviewreport.com. This one, former U.S. generals urge Biden administration to arm Israel heavily against Iran. I put that on here, and I have another one somewhere on here where a retired Israeli general, probably on here somewhere, but a retired, here it is, Israel could strike Iran in 3 months, says retired Israeli general. Israel could strike Iran in 3 months, retired Israeli general. And you add that story to this newest one where you have former U.S. generals now urging the Biden administration to arm Israel heavily against Iran. What are your thoughts on this? And why all of a sudden all of the talk about a strike on Iran? Are we getting that close? I mean, we've been hearing this red line by Benjamin Netanyahu at the UN years ago. He ceased being the prime minister. Now he's back in. I think we surpassed the red line a long time ago. I think they've already got the bomb, at least one. Peter Pry was saying that, you know, years ago. I think they're on their way to getting more, but I think they've already got it. What does all this say to you, Annie?
Well, I agree with you. They already have the bomb. And I'm not sure, considering the recent news that I learned about on your Worldview Report, the daily news you cover, I don't know how I feel about even arming more. Us putting more, you know, budget into arming Israel, considering what they're planning to do with Christians and those who preach the gospel. Just a personal opinion as a Christian, I'm not super happy about that. But
by the way, just so our audience knows, there was a piece of legislation offered up that could have made it a year in jail, year in prison in Israel for trying to convert someone to Christianity. And then, of course, if you did this with someone who was under 18, it could be 2 years. I do have an update on that over at Worldview Report tonight. Amid backlash, yeah, I bet, amid backlash, Netanyahu says Israel will not pass bill to jail Christians for proselytizing. Well, thank you, Benjamin. We appreciate that, being as the only reason you guys are really a nation is because of evangelicals around the world. I'm not even sure they were called evangelicals at the time, but it was certainly because of Zionist and Christian Zionist, I being a Christian Zionist. And for those who don't know what that means, a Zionist is someone who believes in the natural right, historical right of the land to the people. A Christian Zionist is someone who believes in not only the historical right of the Jews to the land, but then you also believe they have a Christian deed to the land. So that makes them a Christian Zionist. Many Zionists have defended the existence and creation of Israel, which happened in May of 48. And many Christian Zionists to this day, evangelicals, are the biggest friends of Israel. So, yeah, I think Benjamin Netanyahu should definitely come forward and say this isn't going to happen. And I think he should have been stronger in his condemnation. But I understand that he's got his whole government based on a very conservative, religious, Jewish conservative small group, which I agree with on some issues. So he's got to be careful to walk this line, right?
Correct. Very correct. But I guess my concern is Netanyahu going to be there forever? What's going to happen when the next prime minister decide to say yes to such a legislation?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. We don't need to be, we need to support Israel, but I don't think we need to be arming Israel. I think right now we need to be arming America. Israel is a very prosperous nation. I mean, we give them or sell them fighter jets. I understand they rip out our avionics and put in their own. They're a very prosperous nation. They got natural gas like you can't believe. I think they've got a massive amount of natural gas, probably oil, and there's even talk of gold. But they've got an awful lot going for their nation. We're in bad shape. We've got to go America first. We can stand with Israel. We can help Israel. But man, we got to build up our own military.
Amen. That's my point exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. I don't agree with suggesting for us to give more to Israel in any shape or form, because we're under attack ourselves from every angle right now. And honestly, Israel has had many chances to take Hamas out. They have had chances to push Iran back. They haven't taken that chance. And if they think they have 3 months to build up to attack Iran, they don't. The weaker the regime becomes inside the country, the more they're going to try to attack Israel. They need to hold on to their power one way or another. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen inside the country. People are not backing down. They're slowing down because they're exhausted. They have support from no other country whatsoever. So it's not going to end well for the regime. So they're going to try to attack Israel way before the 3 month mark. But as far as America goes,
let me interrupt you real quick. Is that because they're losing support from their own people in their own country? So they need some kind of nationalistic fervor or what?
Exactly. And here's the thing. Right now, the IRGC has been a split. 4 days ago, 4 IRGC members were arrested for trying to put a hit on their own general.
Wait a minute. 4 IRGC members were arrested for putting a hit on one of their own generals? What does that tell you? What does that tell you?
That tells you the regime is falling apart.
And all the more reason to go to war as a distraction and to rally their people around their nation.
Bingo.
Annie Cyrus, your show airs every day where, Annie?
Lindell TV, 2:30 to 3 p.m. Central Time, and Worldview Weekend from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central.
Yeah, lindelltv.com, wvwtv.com, and you can check out Annie at liveuptofreedom.com, liveuptofreedom.com. Be sure to support us also, folks. Thank you, Annie. Be sure to support us
folks,
by going to mypillow.com. Use that promo code B66. If you don't use that code, we don't get credit. Sheets, towels, blankets, beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and more. Remember, right now they have $25 slippers that are normally $150. Reagan in the control room brought his pair in, was wearing them today. He got in the mail this week. So he's wearing the $150 pair of slippers he got for $25. Limit of 10 per person while supplies last at mypillow.com. Promo code promo code B66. I hosted his show tonight too, so I have that one in my mind. But that's fine. You can use either one. Promo code B66. Promo code B66 at MyPillow to get savings. And so keep supporting this broadcast and the Worldview Report and the whole network that Mike Lindell and I launched. Can you believe it? 2 years ago, next month. Wow, where has the time gone? Thanks for watching. Take care. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at worldviewradio.com, wvwtv.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch? but it's not free to us. We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com.